I know as some of you began to hear those words from 2 Timothy, you probably got teleported to one of those funerals you were at of someone you cared for and loved, and you heard those words about finishing the race, and that person's life came into your spirit, and you remembered their walk and their race with the Lord. And may God bless that remembrance. But I'm going to move us to a different sort of race right away. So it's going to be almost a harsh turn, and I apologize for that. But there is a race called the... Oops. Have you ever had one of those moments? The Hash Run Harriers. The Hash Run Harrier Hounds had a race that developed in 1938. So this is an old race. And I learned about it through my husband, who has run a Hash Run Harrier race. And it became, let me tell you a little bit about this particular race. It required a constitution in Asia, because when they were running the streets of Asia, they wanted to know that this was a valid organization. So these runners have a constitution. And what they do is they have the lead runner, who is called the hare. The hare marks his or her trail and has all sorts of markings along that trail. Some false trails, has a check. Now, if they see the check mark, they have to know that they have to search for the continuation of the trail. So there's a new beginning. There's going to be this abrupt change in their race. They have shortcuts marked, they have back checks, they have splits, and they have to very carefully watch the trail. So the hare sets out and does this, and they may go through homes, they may go through businesses, they may go through gardens. It's a very unusual race, but it always ends at a feast. So they all, when they finish the race, they gather and they have a party. They now have 2,000 chapters of the Hash Run Harrier Hounds. It came after the Hare and the Hounds from the races in England. But what I thought about is they also have live trails and dead trails. So a live trail is when the hare, the lead runner, is running, and then the rest of them are following. The dead trail is the runner has gone before them, maybe the night before the hare, and set up the race, and then the next day, everybody runs it. So I couldn't help but think about Paul and his race of faith, and as he's talking about finishing his race. And if we think about who is our hare, who is our lead runner who sets our trail. Now for Paul, it was always Jesus Christ. That is who he followed, no matter what the trail might have shown, no matter if there were dead ends, false starts, or places of check where he had to start again from a different spot. Paul never left his eyes off of Christ our Lord. But we're the ones who are following, and we can't, maybe we're following a live trail, maybe we're following a dead trail. We do know that our Lord and Savior is not dead. He has risen from the dead. So I would say we have a live trail that we are following. But occasionally we get lost, that we find a marker somewhere that sets us off the wrong path, whether that marker is an idol or pride, self-righteousness, whatever it is that moves us into a different path and to a different race. And we might, especially the path of self-righteousness, think we are still running the race that was set before us, but somehow we've gone the wrong way. Which, as I was sharing with the children, was this parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. He wasn't a bad man, but his self-righteousness had set him on a path that was different than the Lord intended him to go on. He was on a false trail. I want us to also think about this morning not only that aspect of it. Wondering why our bells are ringing. Is it really noontime already? Checking my watch here. I got more time. Anyway. daylight savings time. Who knows? Have you noticed that today that the Spirit seems to be disrupting this place? Well, so we'll take a deep breath and believe that we just hit a check on our journey and that we need to look at where we need to start again. So I want to start again in a little bit of Paul's situation. Think about when Paul was writing those words that we remembered so fondly this morning. In the second half that I read to you, he says, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me." As Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, he's in jail. He's facing his death. He's facing his death, and all of those who had been around him and in his ministry have deserted him. So he's there. Now, these weren't jail cells that had TVs in them and bunks with cushiony, you know, maybe thin cushions, but cushioned bunks. These were holes in the ground. He's in a hole in the ground, deserted, facing imminent death. And he asks for them not to judge those who have not come to his defense. And what he says is, "But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it." Paul, even in this time of feeling deserted, alone, in a dark prison, is still giving thanks to God that he could continue on his race, continue on his journey, and stay with faith so that others in the world might hear the message of salvation. So when you think of that space and that place for him, to hear his words, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation. I am already being poured out as a libation." We just talked about how our youth have been poured out upon us as a form of libation, as a form of grace and mercy given to us through their service through a meal. And Paul is talking about at the end of his life, that's what he wants to be known for. Not as one who might have stood and proclaimed all of his goodness, but someone who simply did the work. Self-righteousness is one of those very, very hard turns in the path because we don't notice it. We slip into it. Because at some point we are all that tax collector, aren't we? Standing before the altar, somewhere off, afraid to even look at the Lord and claim our sinful state. And from there, we move forward saved and giving great thanksgiving to God for that salvation. We move forward and we begin the process of serving this Lord in that right relationship with God. And then suddenly we find ourselves saying, "Look at what I've done. Look at the good that is coming from God's saving my soul." And we begin to judge those who aren't doing what we have done. And we become the Pharisee who has to once again go before the Lord and claim himself or herself as sinner. And it's almost this vicious, you might say we find a loop in our journey. But Paul reminds us that we can be other than that. That if we keep our eye on the Lord, we'll always find the right track on our trail. The right, whatever they're called, when people mark it, the right marks on our trail, so that we can get to the end and be there at that heavenly banquet. That we can feast with Paul and everyone else because we keep our relationship right, because we keep our eyes not on the prize, but on the one who died that we might have life and have life abundantly. Hash runs might be a lot of fun, and they might have things that we wouldn't have in church at their party. But I was struck that they're about gathering together as community and celebrating the journey that we were on, not celebrating that we finished the race. God wants our focus on the journey of faith. God wants us focused on the right race, not allow the world to have distractions or the world to call us into a different turn or to find this path much more appealing than that path. God wants us to follow the path of our Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be followers of that hare if we are the hounds, and allow Christ to guide each and every step. And then we will be victors. We will be victors and we will receive our crown of righteousness. But we will receive it on that great day when the Lord comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. So are you finishing the race you started, or have you chosen a different path? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.